Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we are in a fight for our life here in the city of Benton Harbor. They said deal or no deal. The deal is, if you can increase the test scores, if you can increase the test scores by 3%, your school will not be shut down, which then is an impossible task. It took them over 25 years to get to where they are today. That's right. There is no school in the history of this country has ever had a test score increase of 3% or more. But they want Benton Harbor, Michigan test scores to be over 3%. Also, the $16 to $18 million that Benton Harbor is in the red. It took them about 30 years to get to this stage where they owe that amount of money, but it was caused the state. The state refused to allow the residents of Benton Harbor to be educated. Every time there was a program that worked, the state shut it down. That's right. Look at the evidence. I know they're not telling you this, but this was in process over 20 years ago. They came up with a plan, and they executed their plan. They knew all along that the people of Benton Harbor is so divided up because they don't really know what's right and what's wrong. They don't even know who's good and who's bad. They believe that if you're a preacher, you're their preacher, and they like you, that you're good. They don't know the difference between a preacher and a minister. Today, in our church today, we talked about the difference between a preacher and a minister. A preacher preach. He don't know nothing else. All he know how to do is preach. That's what he do. He get up on Sunday morning and preach the same tired, drawn out sermon. No teaching, just preaching. Some call it hooping. Yes, hooping in the black community. That's a preacher. He's not out in the community. He's not doing anything for the community. But he still receives the community tithes and offering. That's a preacher. Now, a minister ministers to the community. He's in everything that would help the community. And when he preaches, he teaches. That's a minister. That's the difference between a preacher and a minister. Now, some of the preachers has the title of pastor. He's not a pastor. He's a preacher. He might be over the church maybe because he found it, or the congregation don't know any better. A lot of times we put people in a position who's not qualified to be in a position. See, the church is you. You are the church. When you go to a building where you have a pastor who's preaching, not teaching, just preaching, not out in the community, just preaching, and he calls himself a pastor, then he's false. He's a false teacher. But we live in a time today where we have a crisis here in the city of Benton Harbor. It's down to deal or no deal. Deal or no deal. That is the question. Will the Benton Harbor School Board accept an agreement that they know they can't fulfill and allow the school to close in 2020? Or will they reject this proposal, this agreement, and then pray for rain? I don't know. My thoughts is we must reject this deal. We should not allow the governor off the hook. See, this takes the governor off the hook a little bit. Benton Harbor approved a deal that they know that they cannot fulfill. It's impossible for them to fulfill this deal. One thing, they don't have the resources. They don't have the tools. You have to have tools to fulfill your objective. And Benton Harbor do not have it. They don't have the teachers. They don't have the administration. They don't have the correct board. They don't have none of this that would help them fulfill their obligation for this contract. And the governor knows this already. Governor Whitmer knows this. She's a fraud. You know, typical how they treat black people. Black people just happy to be in the same room with the governor. You know, she's not bringing anything to the table that's different. If you're going to meet with me and you're going to do anything, at least bring a fork to the table if you're planning on eating at the table. She don't have no intention of bringing anything to the table to make life easier here in the city of Benton Harbor. But we, as black people, is just happy to sit at the table with this lady who has no intention of helping Benton Harbor. Whirlpool Corporation, the evil, evil, evil empire, have put this thing together, and now they're executing their plan. The governor wants to be like Jennifer Granholm, who receives a home from Harbor Shores. She's probably going to receive a condo from this project. It'll probably be under somebody else's name, but it's going to be hers. And here's another thing. We have to stop voting for these Democrats who claim to be Democrats. We have to stop voting for them. We can no longer sit here and believe that they are going to do the right thing for our children. It's not going to happen. Because we don't put any pressure on. If we go out and vote, we're going to vote Democrat. 99% of the time, black people vote Democrat. And look, I want to stop saying black people, too. I'm going to start saying African Americans. Because I'd rather be called an African American than a black person now. Because who's black, you know? And we call white people white. They're not white. Tonto said pale face. That's what Thomas said. You remember the Lone Ranger? The masked man. Who is that masked man? But we keep giving them credit for stuff that they do to hurt us. And they think it's all right. I think we better be prepared for war. Even a physical war. We better start getting prepared for it. Benton Harbor used to have a hospital here. The hospital was in Benton Harbor. It's gone. It's now in St. Joe. The courthouse used to be in Benton Harbor. It's gone. It's in St. Joe. Now they want to send our children to schools all around the county. Benton Harbor with no school. I would say within 10 years, there would be no Benton Harbor, Michigan. 10 years. Maybe Benton Township, because they spread it around a little bit more. But in 10 years, there will be no Benton Harbor, period. Right now, if you get born, you're going to be born in St. Joe. You can't be born here. You go to jail, you go to jail in St. Joe. You don't go to jail in Benton Harbor. If you go to school in 2020, you're going to be going to some other school because they're going to close the high school because most people are not smart enough to understand the process. They want to blame it on something else. All these years, these people who you put in office, you went out and voted for these people, and every last one of us stuck it to you. Wow, amazing. But listen, I'm going to bring in my first guest. He's running for mayor of the city of Benton Harbor, a Hebrew brother. And I think he get it. I think he understands everything. People have told him, don't mess with that Reverend Pinckney because he knows something. Don't mess around with him because they don't want him to know something. Anything that pertains to his system, and the key word, I know how to win. On that note, I'm going to bring in the next mayor of the city of Benton Harbor, Jamie Davis. Jamie Davis, are you there? Talk to Reverend Pinckney.
I am here, Greg Elder, Reverend Pinckney.
Oh,
I love this.
Oh, man, you think we ranked number 10. We keep moving up. Before I left in 2014, we was ranked number 3. And since I was gone, now I'm building myself back up to be where we want to be. They even paid me to be on this, to do this now. So it seems like we're moving in the right direction. But I don't care. I'd rather get the word out. I'd rather have someone like you on this show talking about what needs to be done because my people. I love my people. I have even made the supreme sacrifice for them. And they just don't get it. They don't understand exactly what is going on, Jamie. They don't get it, and I don't know what to do to get it. All I can do is give it to them. And what they do with that information is on them. I can't force a person to go in the right direction. But, Jamie, I want to talk a little bit about you. I know there's some things going on, and you made a comment even on Facebook that I thought was really, really put very well. You had a what's her name, that Gorman lady, Lisa Gorman, who is trying to defend the church, but she can't. You know, it's one thing she can't do, not on that issue. She cannot. And I believe that's one of the problems that we have in Jamie. We keep giving people a free pass because we know them. You see, I don't care what a person do, if it's wrong and we know them, we give them a free pass. We say it's okay. But it's not okay. It's not.
I agree.
So, you know, we got to change. But listen, let me hear from you, because I thought that, you know, that you're the guy, you're hitting in the right direction, and I think you're right there. If I thought for a second that they would not be after you, which they're going to be, because one thing, you're making a lot of noise. But I'm tired of talking. I want to hear from you. You can talk about whatever your heart desires. I don't care what you talk about. You can say whatever you want to say. You can just call names, and I don't care. I don't care what you do. The floor is open to you.
Okay, so I appreciate that. Reverend Pinckney. Well, you know, you were talking about, you know, schools earlier. And, you know, I know that the current administration knows about the master plan that Whirlpool calls their vision for that 625 acres of land that the high school took them.
Mm-hmm.
The master plan came out over 10 years ago. Under one of my relatives, Ricky Hill, has something to do with so-called master plan. Why do they call it the master plan, like when you're on a plantation, you know? But the actual word, you call me your Hebrew brother. Well, the actual word was master. For us, it was masa. And in Hebrew, masa means my burden, my affliction. So our people knew that we were burdened and afflicted here. We knew what was going on. The master plan, the master's afflicting plan upon 625 acres of land, when the Europeans and Jews or whatever, when they want to play golf, when they want to use your water, your lakefront, your riverfront, things of this nature, they make indigenous, the so-called African-American people, move. And they've been doing this for eons, centuries. I don't understand how our administration can act like they don't know that new blueprint or master plan exists. All this stuff that's been going on as far as, you know, it looks as if the mayor is trying to save the school, or at one point I heard he's being touted as the one who saved the school. But as you said before, this deal is a joke. Actually, it's a slap in the face. They're actually calling the mayor's bluff. The mayor, first off, he started off talking about the PGA. He said if there's not going to be any school, then there won't be no PGA.
Right.
But he backed up off of that.
Yeah.
And they know.
And
I'm pretty sure he knows. Because I don't believe that he really is totally against all of that type of stuff. I don't know how you voted in here in the first place.
Absolutely.
You know, when the book says when there is no vision, the people perish. You have to deal with these European or pale faces, as Malcolm told us, history's best tool to reward all research. Mm-hmm. A real indigenous leader, a wise indigenous leader today, knows you cannot overlook the history of how these people have dealt with us for centuries. They have not changed any of that. And this slap in the face from Governor Gretchen, you know, right there, just lets me know that it's the same ball game. The players are different, but the rules, they're just about the same.
Yeah.
And we always are the ones in the suffer end, you know. Yeah, and especially now for the mayor to go to the governor's house along with, I think, two other preachers. I know he went, McAfee was with him.
Yeah,
but then
McAfee
to go
with
there
him,
about
Mayor Allen. Mayor Allen was with him.
Oh, she was. Well, they went a month prior to all this stuff, this story coming out, and all of a sudden they were so surprised. I don't understand or understand or understand somehow that conversation didn't come up during that time, during that visit. And I also remember seeing the mayor smiling with the governor in pictures prior to this. To me, it looks like Reverend Peter, they're just trying to have something good for Marcus in his next run, because I don't think he has gained enough from the people, you know, to actually be able to run on his good merit. The things he claimed he was going to do, it seems that from what I hear when I walk these streets and talk to people, they're not happy with the things that he said he was going to do. And so it looks to me like they need something to give him a boost, to keep him, you know, in the eyes of the people, like they were in the beginning, you know, to take him back to that place, at least as far as they can get close to that.
Yeah.
I don't think that he actually reached the place he used to be in the eyes of the people, because he's not the same person that walked the street and gained the people's hearts and minds.
That's right.
Yes, people are they're hurt is what it is. They're disappointed. That's different than anger. Disappointment comes when you really believe in a person. This brother, Marcus Muhammad, gained the hearts and minds of the people when he walked the streets, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we got in office, it seems as if he has not been able to deliver what he claimed he was going to be able to do. And again, right now, just like in big politics, when I say big politics, I mean the high government, the country's government, you know, the big White House stuff. Every time there is an election year, they come out and start doing all the things they were supposed to be doing in the beginning. Like right now, the roles will get fixed and somebody will claim that in the commission. Then, the school is supposed to still be going on. Somebody like the Martin, the mayor, he'll claim that. These people need things to me to make them look good. So if the money's been there to take care of the roads, they could have took care of that a long time ago, but they wait until now to do all that now because it's election year. That's what they're doing, big politics, and that's what they're doing in local politics.
Absolutely. Let me say this also. You know, the roads didn't have to get this bad. There was money available for the city of Benton Harbor to repair the roads. Some of the cases, now this is, they never applied for it. Darwin Watson, the city manager, the thief, never applied for the money that they should have been receiving since 2010. There was money available to fix every single street in the city of Benton Harbor. They didn't really need an income tax for that. We need an income tax because so many people at Whirlpool use our streets and all these other companies that don't live inside the city of Benton Harbor. But my thing is this. Money was allocated for summer jobs for our youth. Last year, they never utilized that money for our youth. They used it for other things. This year, the same thing. And we, you know what, we sit around and if we like somebody or we related to them, they can do all the dirt there is in the world, and we don't say a mumbling word. And that's what happened. Like Ricky Hill now. See,
right.
One thing about what was going on then, I can't say how much money they received. Because I said they received $10,000, $20,000. I'd be lying. I don't know that amount. But I do know they received something because nobody could be that stupid. And here's the thing. That Harbor Shore project, listen to this. They don't want to pay no tax to black folks. They took them down. They took them up the lands and to the tribunal and told them that that they want to put the money in escrow so they don't have to pay any taxes to the city of Benton Harbor. The income tax. The Judge Wiley took that income tax, all the money that they're supposed to be receiving from all these wealthy people that works in those homes, that are living in them holes over there by the golf course, and taking all that money and putting it in a escrow account until that area becomes St. Joe. And now here's something now. The kids that live in that area around the golf course, they go to St. Joe schools. They don't go to Benton Harbor schools. You see?
Oh.
So and here's another thing. Like the Whirlpool area. Now, remember the golf course is right down the street from Whirlpool headquarters, and they got another office on this side. So they're trying to designate that area as Harbor Shore all the way up to the high school. You see, that's all part of the master plan.
You're right.
See, we as black people, if we don't see it, Jamie, we don't know. It's not happening. We have to see stuff happening. Like when we in our neighborhood, we see drug dealers. Okay, that's happening. We see young girls and people out there twerking. That's happening. We see people out rapping. That's happening. But when they build, they don't build for the day, you see. They deal for tomorrow, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We live for the day,
right,
and we pray for tomorrow, you see.
Right.
That's how
we operate, right.
And that's the pitfall that we fall in. And I know if you got to be mayor, tell us some of the stuff that you want to do and you want to see done.
Well, one of the things, you know, I have a 4-point platform, and, you know, it's very simple, but it's complex at the same time. Water, food, shelter, and security of all of those things, and everything else falls within that. First point of action, water. Is the water still poison? I'm not hearing anything from the council on the water situation. So I would have to make sure that there's a constant update on the water level. What's going on at the water plant? Do we have anybody at the water plant that have changed the filters? Because, I mean, if you're giving us filters on the back end, what about the filter at the water plant itself? How has that been taken care of? Plus, all these things about the water and the poisoning of the water and how the water is filtering the plants and the system and all that stuff works is in the charter and the code of ordinance, which is not what the council, the current council, really is following fully. So I'm going to definitely, in everything I do, use the city, the code of ordinance, and the city's charter, because that is the Bible of the whole entire city. Some of the things I wanted to do, like let's say I want to go out and I want to minister. I'm a minister and a bishop. I've been there for 23 years. So I have a microphone, I have a guitar, I have an amp. Now, I want to, in my own mind, go out and minister and teach the way I want to minister and teach and campaign. But the charter, as I was reading earlier, doing my due diligence to studying, I want to be the mayor, I'm going to use the charter. I find I have to have a permit from the city clerk, and it's had to be approved by the sheriff. And then I can go out and I can do what I want to do in designated areas. So I'm seeing that even the things I want to do, I, as a citizen of the city, and even as the mayor or whatever, I have to follow the charter. Everybody within the city, there's a charter. What I want to do is have space and time, like on the city's website, because I am on the communications committee now. I want to have spots on the community YouTube page where people can go and see me or whoever else reading the charter orally and having it explained for certain categories so that people can go there anytime and read about certain things, you know, that's in the charter. I think that the citizens need to know about the law, or the residents need to know about the law in the city to make the city better. That's one thing we can do. It's people that are the officials, they need to be telling the people what they're officiating, what laws they are actually there to enforce. The citizens should know this. I don't see enough being done for the residents as far as the knowing of the law. They don't really know a lot of this stuff. I didn't even know a lot of these things. A lot of stuff that's going on in this city, according to the code of ordinance, that's not supposed to be happening. Like that out center downtown on Water Street. That's a lewd operating place. The charter speaks very specifically in reference to lewdness, prostitution, all types of stuff like that that's going on right there in that art district ran by a man who used to be married to another man. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that's not being followed in this city. So, again, water is my number one thing. I want to make sure we have clean drinking water, because I don't care if you have the proper infrastructure, if you have nice shelter, money, and all that. If you cannot get proper water in the body, then you're not going to survive. Even the smallest child, all of us require water. Everybody requires water. And it's amazing to me that we live in an area that used to be the number one fruit market in the world, which means this has to be a place that at one time had good, clean, and fresh water, because you cannot do that with contaminated, poisoned water. So we have to go back to what we did before, if we can do that and make it happen. But I heard something you said earlier, Renfing. You said we have to prepare for war. And even on a physical level. And if I just feel like this, you poison our water and it's found out, some things need to happen, period.
Absolutely.
You should not be able to poison people water and then lay down every night and go to sleep every night. And that everything shouldn't be good. I'm just going to put it out there like that. We cannot have that. When people misuse us, go ahead.
Let me say this. You said something that's truly, truly important, because, as you know, the mayor, the DEQ, the Department of Environment Control, Quality, told the mayor that the water was undrinkable on October 3rd, 2018. He went around during the whole month of October telling people that the water was drinkable and good, knowing that the water was no good. When the DEQ come in, they don't love us either now. Don't think for a second that the DEQ love us. They do not love us. You know, they, matter of fact, I'm not going to use the word hate, but they ain't going to do us no big favor. So they sent him a letter telling him that the water was too contaminated to consume by any living being. And he, instead of him and Watson telling the people that the water was not drinkable, he told everybody, and told it on the news, they ate it all up. Because, see, newspapers like News 57 and News 22, News 16, and the Herald Palladium, they cater to the evil empire. You see, Whirlpool dictates. Actually, they work more for Whirlpool Corporation than they do for news itself. The News 57 headquarters, which is, I believe is ABC, and 22 is NBC. And, you know, these folks, they put out stuff to confuse the residents of the city of Benton Harbor because we don't get it. We don't do no investigating. And if I had not went out and water tested these people, they would still be drinking the same water today, thinking that this water was okay.
Well, Rem Pinckney, according to our charter and code of ordinance, they're obligated by the law to inform the people. It's in the charter. It's in the code. I just read it a few minutes ago about water. It has to be posted on all and anywhere where the water, you know, in public places and all that stuff, like on the water fountains in the parks. It has to be placed there. Something has to be placed there that the water is unsafe. And if that has, and I don't see that nowhere in the city. So
nowhere.
Yeah, they can actually be fired and actually sent to jail for that.
Absolutely.
According to what I read.
You know what? I want to say this to you too. I am so glad that you read that charter. And also you make the statement that charter should be someplace where every single citizen can read it. And one of the things that I want to bring to your attention too, the mayor, now this is a home rule city. The mayor is just really one vote, but he gets the signed document that the other commissioners don't. But here's the problem. He can't go and call a press conference unless he gets permission from the commission. How do he go out speaking for the city? I need you to look that up because I believe that he's in violation of the charter on that issue too. I believe he is, but I haven't read the charter in such a long time. But I always believe that even as the mayor, you just can't go out speaking for the city without the permission of the council. You know.
No, I don't think so either. I'm going to look into it, definitely. I don't think so
either. The reason to find that out, because that's another serious violation that when you have a debate later this month, which is July 1st is tomorrow. I don't know. I think the 14th, 15th, something, the debate going to be. And I believe it's going to be a Saturday. I'm not positive about that either. But you look it up and be ready for that debate when they have it. And bring up some of these issues, some of these violations. But, you know, they're going to ask a question. And how you do it, you insert these things in your answer. You see?
Exactly.
Let's say, for instance, how you plan to improve the city of Benton Harbor, a water supply. Well, I will make sure that we're within the rules that we're supposed to be in, not like the mayor. Who have never been in, the charter. He have violated the charter, and people don't know. So that's how you deal with stuff like that. They ask you a certain question, even though it requires a different answer. You insert the violation that you believe, and that'll give you the strength that you should have. It may propel you to a whole different level. So
I'm going to make sure. I'm going to make sure I do that. I'll be getting Xerox copies of everything before, and I'll present it to those who are holding the debate, as well as any other council that wanted to. You know, definitely, I'm going to do that.
Absolutely, and I think that you know what you want to do is and like you said, you got the charter. Matter of fact, I saw you with the charter, so I know you read the charter.
Right.
And you're stepping out way beyond everybody else. I don't know how Juanita Henry is doing or what's her plan. I have not witnessed her doing anything. What's her name? Marjorie Cotter,
right.
CL. And also, you last time I was talking to you, you was telling me about somebody in CL Ward that was doing racist things or what.
I ran up on this, there's this racist family, under an organization or corporation called Rose Atkins. They work with a bank out in upper part of Michigan, and they're a racist family of misfit inbred, honestly, that actually hate indigenous people or black people. They go in neighborhoods and they'll buy a property or several properties, and they will give you a deal on the property that you cannot refuse. They basically will tell you that you can write out your own contract or agreement and agree to pay them whatever you can afford. So, black folks, our people will be like, okay, that's great. That's the kind of deal we're looking for and actually need. So what they do is they'll give you the contract or agreement. You sign everything. You're in the place. They'll raise the rent on you to a point where you know you cannot pay. Then they'll turn around and say you trash the place, they'll put you out, and you'll end up having a record. And they sell to, now while you were in jail or whatever, when you got your record, you'd have been put out, your record is tarnished. Now they sell it to someone else and do the same thing. Now I know exactly what house. It's right on Pearl Street in the second ward, right down in the second block, in the next block from the commissioner of that ward, which is C.F. Jones. Now, I did my due diligence research on this a couple years back. I found out that's what they do. Now the house is under the jurisdiction of someone else. See, this Rose Atkinson takes fictitious phantom people under this bank. They have now transferred the contract to somebody else's name. But I believe that house is a setup house. Now, I don't know how many of those are around here in this particular neighborhood, but that one I know. And it's 745 Pearl Street. That's the actual address, that particular home. And I don't know if that's happening anywhere else in this city, but I know they only own one house, and that was the one at 745 Pearl.
So what they do?
So that's something, huh?
Let me get an understanding here. What they do is they allow people to move in. And what if you say, okay, and you can set your own amount. What if you say you can only afford $100 a month?
Would
happen
you're
then?
Fine. Then you're fine. That's what you can afford. You'll be fine. They work. They make it where they're going to accept whatever deal you give them. Whatever deal you give them.
How do they manage
I tell you what people can do.
How do they manage How do they manage to raise the cost? The rent or the mortgage on that? Are you actually buying from a bank?
I don't know what the procedures are to come up with this astronomical amount of extra rent or that you have to pay or whatever, but they do it some type of way. If you go on the internet, you can look them up if the information is still there. See, I went into the review, the Better Business Bureau reviews, and some of the complaints. And Europeans, the so-called white folks or pale faces, as you say, they're complaining about this company. They're talking about how negative this company. They're talking about how racist this company. They cannot stand so-called indigenous or black people. They can hate our gut. And they've been doing it. They have houses in different parts of the country, but they only have one here in this area. And when you go to the house, it's funny how There's no sign out. Like the house is owned by so-and-so, some realtor or whatever. Ain't none, there's none of that. I had to go to inquire about this place because I saw that it was empty. And the door was wide open. Somebody was living in the place and everything last year.
Wow.
All this. I think they have set up houses in indigenous neighborhoods like this one. Well, they set us up with these so-called deals just to give us records. So later on, we can't get a house anywhere. And Benton Harbor is a very difficult place to find adequate housing without it being tied to some type of slumlord who seems to be in cahoots with the rest, Whirlpool, Cornerstone Alliance. All these people to me seem to be intricately connected some kind of way.
Yeah, I know you said something. Benton Harbor, I'm thinking that 70% of the people of the people that own real estate in the city of Benton Harbor do not live in Benton Harbor.
Right.
And these are slumlords who come in, they patch up the house enough so a person can want to move in, and once you move in. And then they put it on you. Everything is on you after after you move in. I know about that, and I know that we have a history of allowing this to happen. It is unfortunate that we continue to do the same thing over and over again. I know that it takes 24 hours for us to even try to feed our families or feed our wives and children and girlfriends and whatever. But, you know, some things we got to take time out and start reviewing some of this stuff that's happening in our community. And here's the sad part. I don't know. Once we lose the high school, I don't know whether we can be classified as a community anymore.
That's the whole purpose,
They took the hospital. They took the jail. Everything that was making money. Now they want to take the high school. They want that. See, if they take the high school, they also take that lakefront down there.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
that's
another thing. And here's another thing. When they built that Whirlpool Corporation right there on the water, there was a street there that was not given to a Whirlpool Corporation. They just took it and close that street off so nobody can go up and down that street because the city commission was all bought and sold. They had no right to close that street out without the permission of the residents of the city of Benton Harbor. But we allowed it. You see?
Wow.
We allowed them to do things and get away with stuff, which is so amazing, man. I tell you, when I think about all the stuff that these folks have done to us, and then people have the nerve to talk about Whirlpool is not the problem. If they wasn't here, none of this stuff would be happening.
Like the beach, Dane Clark Park. I'm looking at in the ordinance, and I see that that's why they're not supposed to be no dogs in the water or no dogs on the beach unless they have a leash on the dog.
Right.
And even in... And in Hawaii, the governor of Hawaii has banned suntan lotion. Okay, so now because it has oxybenzone, that's a chemical in there that's killing the coral reefs. I'm very big on water. You don't have water, you don't have life. Period.
Right.
70%+ of your body and brain is water. That is very important. If water wasn't important, we wouldn't see the fact that we wouldn't have them selling us water in plastic bottles. And every time they go in the store with them, Pinkney, it's like, think about it. All the beverages in all of our stores have a water base.
Yeah.
Unless it's a wine that came from a certain food or something like that. But all the beverages that you drink, they usually come with a water base.
They put a little water in it. Because that's right.
So they've been poisoning our water and putting chemicals in it and making it like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all these pops and stuff with the artificial flavors and colors. These demons have been poisoning our water system globally, but we think it's okay because it's in the form of a pop. It's in the form of some artificial drink, a juice drink, which has no juice in it. You see, these types of things are very important to me. And if you're not feeding the people right, if we don't have proper access to clean water, we cannot think right. So they'll be able to outthink you on every level. You see, we are dependent upon drugs where these people have made us dope heads, even the chemicals in the monster drinks and things. I want to ban all of that because those types of things are harmful to our thought process, to the children and everything. It's so much that's going on in this city. It needs to be dealt with, man.
Right. In other words, they're slowly killing us all. And how do you say they're killing us softly, you know? And, it's so amazing when you sit down and think about this. And you know, there's a, if you became mayor, there's a lot of grants that I know of that you can get to help repair the streets and stuff like that. Even these lots and stuff, you know, that you can work. And I'm big on gardens and stuff like that. I believe that we should put our people in a position where we can start growing our own food and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
The administration that we have today fight against. They were fighting so hard against me and Emma Kanar that they didn't want to give us water. The emergency manager that we have, Saunders, he thought that the city would do good having gardens, and he operated water for the rest of the garden life. But this administration came in trying to cut the water off. No water for black residents in Benton Harbor. No water. What kind of crap is that? You see,
that's what I'm talking about. That right there requires a whole different attitude. Because I'm gonna tell you flat out, you're not going to tell me that I have to drink poison water. You're not gonna have no rest at night. The one thing we do, we say no justice, no peace, but after we get no justice, we still keep peace. That's a dead statement. That don't need to be said out of none of our mouths anymore until we're ready to bring the non peace after we get no justice. See, they know we're not going to do anything. That's why they can blow up the mail. Oh, we're going to shut the school. We're going to do this. Oh, you better get these grade points up by this year, the end of the year. Oh, we're going to close anyway. Come on. These people muscle because
Jamie,
they see that we're not going to do nothing.
Jamie, hold that thought for me. I think I got my call coming from prison, and let me get him in, and I'll get you right back in. Victor, are you there?
Yeah.
Mr. Victor, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Oh, Mr. Victor, how you doing today?
I'm blessed, highly favored.
Hey, you know, I've been waiting for your call, and I know how important it is. But I got a whole new listening crew on, and I want to continue. I know what you want to talk about. We got about 11 minutes to get all this stuff done. But I want them to tell them a little bit about this, how this is the first day, and we have the life of this, and the life that you of killing your son, that has been total violation.
It's breaking up.
There's no evidence. So let's on that base, tell us what we can do out here, what you can do, how you fight. Tell us now.
Well, no, it kind of breaking up a lot, but if I'm understanding what you're saying, we're dealing with a system down here in the state of Louisiana that's still functioning on a pre-Civil War Confederate mindset where they're not acknowledging any supreme law as being part of the Union at all. And they're being allowed to operate in that manner in official capacity. Officials in official capacity to just blatantly, without fear of reprisal, violating constitutional laws under the watchful eyes of professionals. And so that is happening in a traditional fashion here in the state of Louisiana without any acknowledgement to any universal consensus of jurisprudence whatsoever. In my particular case, it is so much legal fictions and that is it borders on the line of insanity to reveal and for people to understand what exactly happened in this case. It's far from any kind of legitimate legal proceedings had in this state whatsoever. So we need third-party intervention. We need a third-party arbitrator such as what the federal government supposed to be. And we're not getting protected. We being African-American males in particular of people of color in general in the territory of the state of Louisiana by the federal government. It is the equivalency to taxation without representation. And so we're still being governed by pre-Civil War Confederate laws and statutes and regulations and legal battles that have long since been won and ruled upon in the highest court of the land. And we're still having to fight these battles, which all the other states have moved on and have already resolved years ago, particularly as we relate to this. If you've heard about it nationally, this national shame, this 10-2 law that allow non-unanimous jurors to convict in the state of Louisiana for felony crimes, which in 48 of the other states have long since been outlawed and unconstitutional. And so now you have African-American males literally being kidnapped and human trafficked in the prison system under the guise of legal procedures, which allowing them to exercise slavery under the color of law. And so there are people that haven't been proven guilty without a reasonable doubt. We have African-Americans on the jury who votes that doesn't count with a 10-2 vote. You have people votes that are not being counted. And so you got African-American being convicted as defendants with a non-unanimous jury. And even that the new law has been passed, there's a new law that has been passed as November the 6th, has changed the law to require unanimous jury for a conviction. And even with that new law being passed, they're still convicting people of non-unanimous 10-2 juries and not making the law applicable, even though that's Griffin versus Kentucky. The United States Supreme Court ruling has already ruled and decreed that this law is already retroactive to those on direct appeal not yet finding pending trial. But there is no defense attorney in the state of Louisiana have yet to make the argument for whatever reason that these people are being put in jail now under the color of law when there's a new law stating that a non-unanimous jury is unlawful and that the application, the procedure application, is applicable to those on direct appeal not yet final retroactively to the New York law pursuant to Griffin versus Kentucky. And if you marry that with State versus Drawder, which is a Louisiana Supreme Court ruling that says that they adopt the precedence of the higher court, which is in Griffin versus Kentucky, that those on direct appeal and not yet final and pending trial, when a new law goes into effect, that the application to that new law would be retroactive to those in that state, meaning on direct appeal, not yet final and pending trial. So even with those laws being settled, we are captive now, sitting by the thousands in the prisons of the state of Louisiana with no defense attorney even presenting that to any court. And when that I've had it to be heard by a judge asking the state to show cause, I've gotten the defense attorneys to continually ask for more and more continuance and won't make the argument. Now, the state of Louisiana, using unattainable processes through procedural law, so that you might not obtain the entitlement to your what they would call substantial right. So we're getting rights by laws being legislated and passed, but the entitlement to those rights in practice we are not receiving because of the procedural law they're applying, making the rights unapplicable. And so then now we need a new mindset. We need other attorneys from outside this state to join with these attorneys in this state to represent in the courts of the state of Louisiana so that we can bring a new and a different and a more courageous mindset of integrity to make these arguments that it should be historical at this time. So the Louisiana have all but confessed that they are in the guise of promoting white supremacy, having a sense of denial that the Confederate state lost during the Civil War, they continue on ignoring the Union, ignoring the federal government, and employing Confederate laws, procedures, regulations, as though the Supreme Court and the United States of America does not exist. And so now we're saying that not only that Louisiana is wrong in doing this, we're saying that the federal government is allowing it and not enforcing its own constitution, if withstanding on is necessary, is also participating in the non-enforcement. And where there is no enforcement of law, there is no law. So
that's right.
The correct argument in regards to representing the 10-2 jury scheme victims that are still incarcerated on direct appeal or pending trial and whose conviction is not yet final have never been made in any Louisiana court by any Louisiana defense attorney to date. And this argument will be made, I'm predicting, in the next 60 days in my case by any means necessary. And what is that argument? One is the fact is there is a new amended constitution effective as of January 1st, 2019, that requires a unanimous jury in order to convict any person charged with a felony crime, thereby that outlawing non-unanimous jury conviction. The Ramos case that's pending in the U.S. Supreme Court, it addresses the constitutionality of the old law, which we're gonna fight that also. But this argument I'm talking about is the new law. And the United States Supreme Court has already ruled in a matter of procedural application of a new rule of law regarding criminal prosecution, has already held in the case of Griffin versus Kentucky that any new rule for the conduct of criminal prosecution is to be applied retroactive to all cases, state or federal, pending trial on direct appeal or cases not yet final. The United States Supreme Court ruling the Constitution enjoys legal superiority over any conflicting provision of a state constitutional law. And that is pursuant to Supremacy Clause, Article 6 of the United States Constitution. And the preemptive principle, which states in pertinent part that a federal rule or law supersedes any inconsistent state law or regulation. Consequently, it does not matter how the pre-Civil War, racially minded, historically known obstructors of justice calling themselves the Louisiana legislative body may deceptively word their legislative acts of war against Africans in the state of Louisiana. Louisiana legislators have no authority to write laws that can supersede federal law and constitution. And any law or interpretation in conflict with the Supreme Law and Supreme Court, renowned established ruling and universally established interpretation, is a nullity. And what we are saying is these laws are in legal contemplation, the same as it does not exist and has no authority or right recognizable. The three questions that I'm asking is, can the practices of the state of Louisiana, which defy federal constitutional protection, be usurped by local practice or wanton disregard for prior decisions of the highest court in the land, the Honorable United States Supreme Court? And two, whether Louisiana has established a pattern of adherence or defiance toward prior decisions of the United States Supreme Court? And the third question is, whether it denies the defendants on direct review 14th Amendment right not to vacate a non-unanimous jury verdict retroactively when, as a state new law, constitutional amendment becomes effective, requiring unanimous jury verdict for felony conviction. Louisiana officers of court, as well as local media, I'm coming on the radio to tell you they have avoided reporting the legal arguments in the court presented, that I presented on the 10-2 issue and as a petitioner on appeal. They have ignored reporting that 1,000 African Americans have joined me in the state of Louisiana as indispensable parties filing for a removal petition in the United States Eastern District Court. No Louisiana media has reported on this, and this is big. We got 1,000 incarcerated, I call them incarcerated victims, still in the state of Louisiana, and they're not reporting that we have joined together collectively, saying to the United States Eastern District Court, which is a federal court, that this is civil rights violation, human rights violation, and constitutional violation as a whole. We're questioning officials under the color of law, violating our civil rights, and attempting to circumvent the United States Supreme Court and constitutional immunities. Examples such as the language of the new amendment law stating offenses committed on or after the effective date when the United States Supreme Court has already ruled on the procedure application of new law, which restricts that type of grammar or mandatory language, and also the preemptive sealing of the polling of the jury. So when that they seem that the people would overwhelmingly vote for the new law to pass, they preemptively passed the law to seal the polling of the jury such that those that would be the benefits of that law could not prove that they were 10 tools, such that they can't get their own polling of the jury. So this wayward behavior the state of Louisiana legislators create state laws in ignorance of supreme law and rulings cannot supersede established federal law and Supreme Court rulings by creating unattainable processes. This is what we believe to be legal fixes, vexation litigation, and unlawful legal procedure, misapplication, and manifest errors of law. No matter how the state of Louisiana new law is written or the date of the alleged offense was said to be committed, the law is already settled. The procedure by which the entitlement is to be made applicable and Louisiana must release and to partake in reparation and the restoration of the suspect classification of African Americans who have been historically proven to be powerless and been irreparable harm and dehumanized by officials who take oaths to protect them. So what does this mean? It means that all those still being held that was on direct appeal, pending trial, or whose case was not yet final, verdicts are not valid, pursuant to procedure application of the new amended Constitution, pursuant to Griffin versus Kentucky Supreme Court ruling, declaring that non-unanimous jury invalid. Subsequently, any sentence based upon invalid verdicts is not valid, according to Louisiana Criminal Court of Procedure 882. And regardless of the date of offense charged pursuant to State versus Drawder, if the verdict is not valid, the sentence is not valid, therefore the conviction is not valid. And any state court, office of the court, or state legislators maneuvers to create laws purposefully in conflict with established settled constitutional issues by the highest court is in the lane amounts to preemptive injustice and the kidnapping and human trafficking of those Africans and other indispensable parties entitled to the rights of full mention in the violations of the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery and the 14th Amendment equal protection, procedure due process, and due process guarantees. Actions done deliberately of this nation amounts to criminal acts in violation of the oath of office in official capacity. And this is the word that we're trying to get out and that we're in need of any defense attorneys that have any integrity to become involved in this historical fight in the state of Louisiana, which would bring down 120 years of an open enemy, an open adversary that's blatantly in our face, dehumanizing, disrespecting, and humiliating African-American males in the state of Louisiana and ignoring federal law while they're doing it.
Wow. You know, let me say this, Mr. Victor. We're working to get Jeff. Jeff, like I said, won't be back until the 11th. He's on vacation, and he's already prepared. But I want you to text him, and even though he's not at this time available, but he will be available on the 11th, and I want him to get in touch with you personally, and I'm also going to text him your number so he can have your number and have him to call you. And I will do that for you. And he's definitely interested. He definitely will file that for you. Like you said, we need an attorney, as in Louisiana, that he can sit with, because he can't do
absolutely
it himself, right? But he can sit with, and he will come in and do what needs to be done. But on that note, Mr. Victor, I'm sorry to tell you this, but we are out of time. I know
Glory to God.
Could call in sooner, but anytime that you feel like calling in, stuff like that, and you got a message, I got an open door policy for you, and I promise you that I'm going to continue to do what we do and try to help you any way we can, because we're going to get you out of there. There's no reason.
God bless you.
You should be sitting in prison, and your wife too.
Glory
there's
God.
Not a reason in this world. But the point
Glory
is,
God.
We got so many people who sitting down doing nothing, and me and my wife, we're going to go down and pray about you, trying to get you out of this place, and you don't deserve this. But anything,
God bless
you. You call me, anything we can do to help, and I got my good friend, Jamie Davis. He's running for mayor of Benson Harbor, and I think this is a case that he might even be willing to take the time out and try to help you also. So we're doing some things to try to make things happen, and I just wish that I had a little bit more time to talk to you about this, Mr. Victor. I want you to know that we love you, and we're going to be fighting for you and your wife like never before. And thank you so much for calling in. If you want to call in next week, give me a heads up. I'll try to make time for you.
God bless you. Bless all your listeners for listening.
All right, then. You have a good day. And everybody, I will see you all next week, same time.